tonight about where the dead go. And we're going to look at quite a few bit of verses, so I don't think I'll get through all of them tonight. And it's probably a little, it's not as quite as simplistic as you think, although it is fairly simplistic. And I'm not going to go to the Greek. The only time I go to the Greek is if they have some pastries on sale or something. Baklava is pretty good. But I don't need to go to the Greek to learn anything. I've got God's perfect book right here that'll tell me anything that I need to know. So we're going to look at everything it says in here, quite a few things. So it might be some things that you haven't heard before, which is fine. We'll I'll probably take 2 weeks to go through it. But once you gather what it says, it's fairly simplistic. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We'll start there, chapter 2, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 12. Just for way of introduction, Matthew chapter 12, and we'll start in 2 Timothy, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and then 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And these just introductory scripture. That's not really have a lot to do with it, but the reason for these, you'll see as we read them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 should be familiar to most everybody here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One of the things the Bible commands us to do is study. You say, why? So that we won't be ashamed. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, we want to be approved unto God. If you don't study, you're not approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If you don't study, you won't understand what the Bible says. Approved unto God, and it says a workman. So it takes work. It takes work to read your Bible. It takes work to pray. It takes work to study. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. So a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Obviously, there are divisions in the Bible, and those divisions need to be placed rightly. So rightly dividing the word of truth. The three basic divisions in your Bible that if you learn to divide them are Jew, Gentile, Church of God, and they'll keep you straight on a ton of stuff. We're going to talk about where the dead go tonight, and there are some things that people don't understand or have not heard before. Once you see them, I think you'll understand them. A lot of people don't know the difference between kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. They think they're the same. They're completely, totally, 100% different. They have some similarities, especially when the King of Kings here. They're both present, the spiritual kingdom and the physical kingdom. So there's a lot. Oh, she is. When you pulled her out of there, I'm going, she's getting big. She's getting long. Hi, chunky monkey. Oh, look at her grinning. Look, she's still grinning. Matthew chapter 12. Now, you can stop me and ask me a question if you'd like to help me clarify, if you want me to clarify something for you. But I'm going to go through, and I may answer your question if we go through and teach along the way. So, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. It says this, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Makes me think of W.A. Gerald's preaching one time. He's talking about, the Israelites digging whales. And whales out in the desert. And I thought, how did these whales get in the desert? And he meant wells, but he's from Alabama, so he pronounced them whales. I think they say their eyes down there, too, are all pronounced A's. Like life is laf. Wife is waf. It's my wife. What's the matter, you? Yeah, what's the matter, you? It says there in verse 44, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth, and we'll talk about what's down there in the heart of the earth. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still not totally sure that I know. And the reason I say that, because heart would have a reference to the inward part. And when we talk about our heart, sometimes we talk about the heart not as necessarily a physical pump, but what's our being inside us. So the heart of the earth, if I were to look at the physical aspects of the heart, the heart has four chambers. So the question is then, are there four chambers in the heart of the earth? And there could be, but I know of three specifically and four depending on if you consider the Great Gulf, where there is nothing, a chamber, which it could be. There's paradise, Abraham's bosom, and there's hell, the fiery part. Between Abraham's bosom, when the rich man died and was in hell and he looked across a great gulf. So if you would consider a part of it a great gulf, I don't know. There are four parts to the inward core of the earth. There's the outward crust, the upper magna, the middle magna, the lower magna, and the inner. There's like four separate parts of the earth outside the outside crust of the earth, inside the heart of the earth. So are there four chambers? I don't know. The lake of fire is not in the heart of the earth. So it doesn't even exist at this point. So you can't really count that as a chamber. So there's just some things I'm not sure of. I know that there are three basic ones, and I'll explain those why I think there are three and why the three match the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if I were doing it based upon God's creation, he does things in three, I would say there are probably three chambers that are in the heart of the earth or were in the heart of the earth that aren't there now. So that'll kind of give you where I'm going. So the people talk about hell, obviously, paradise, Abraham's bosom, the church, the rapture, the second advent, the millennium. I really think the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place on the earth after the tribulation takes place, and it's like the marriage supper of Cana that Christ came. They were invited to the marriage supper, and I think the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place on the earth, and all Israel will come to that. They'll be drawn from the four corners of the earth. They'll be resurrected, Ezekiel 37. They're there, still there, by the way. David is still in the heart of the earth. He hasn't come up. Matter of fact, so is the rest of Israel. But I'll explain some of those things as we go along and see if you can't figure them out. Bottomless pit, by the way. The bottomless pit. I'm thinking if there is a fourth one, there's a bottomless pit. All right. Is the bottomless pit, if it is such as a chamber, is it just where the three parts of the earth, the center of the earth are? Nether parts of the earth. Nether. They talk about the nether part there. We'll probably look that up. If you read your Bible, you've read about a nether millstone. The nether millstone is just the lower millstone. There are two stones, one on top and one on the bottom, and they put the grain in. Sometimes they have a hole in it that goes down through and they turn. The nether millstone is the lower millstone. So the Bible talks about the nether parts of the earth. That's the lower parts of the earth. That's the parts inside the earth. So that's where we're going to start, and I'll kind of explain some things as we go along. Before the crucifixion of Christ, I believe there were a minimum of three places in the heart of the earth where the souls of men went when they died, which would have been paradise. The second one would have been Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom and paradise are not the same. Neither kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are the same. A lot of people say, oh, paradise and Abraham's bosom are the same. They are not the same. Abraham's bosom is still in the heart of the earth. Paradise now is up. There are three distinct things. And then hell, the fiery part of hell, the bottomless pit. Everyone, as far as I can tell, that was saved before there was any written word of God and before Abraham and circumcision went to paradise when they died. They called them antediluvian saints before the deluge of the flood. So there was no written word. Abraham had not been born at that point yet. So there could be no Abraham's bosom if there was no Abraham. So before that, it was paradise, and there was no place called Abraham's bosom before that. Everyone who was saved from the time of Abraham to the death of Christ, including those that were under the law, went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Everyone who was saved in any dispensation of time went to the fiery part that was lost, went to hell. There was no purgatory. There was no intermediate place. There was no nothing. So paradise and Abraham's bosom, I mentioned, are not the same, and I'll look up some verses to help you to see that. They're two separate places, although both at one time were located in the heart of the earth. And again, the third part of that fiery is the fiery place, which makes a trinity. Each place is identified, or each place in the heart of the earth is identified with one of the persons of the Godhead. In Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 16. We'll jump around here. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. It says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham's bosom would be associated with God the Father, type of God the Father, Abraham's bosom. Then paradise was originally in the Garden of Eden. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. And we'll come back to some of these as we're going. Just kind of give you an overview to begin with, and then we're going to go through and look at each one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. I think that's what I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That was Adam in the Garden of Eden, made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who's the last Adam? Jesus Christ. So Adam was in the garden, and paradise, that would be in type or likened unto the portion that is in the center of the earth or the heart of the earth, that would be likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And hell, the fiery part, Matthew chapter 3, is likened unto the Holy Spirit, or in relation to the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. I did an interesting study years ago. There was a fellow, well, I had his name, it's on the tip of my tongue. He was supposedly a preacher out in western Pennsylvania. He was supposedly was in the National Guard, and he was assigned to a UFO chasing division. You remember him? And he chased them. Oh, boy, his name keeps, I almost got it here. Anyway, he chased them. And he used to preach on a lot of things. And he preached that there were entrances into the heart of the earth, and where some of them were located. Bermuda Triangle, for one, Goose Bay Labrador. And they actually took a cruiser into the heart of the earth to chase some of the UFOs that went in, according to, oh, almost had his name again, and I lost it. But dead serious, he even had newspaper pictures where they saw some of the people and printed them in the newspaper. I saw the pictures. Of course, you can put anything in a newspaper. But he preached some of those things, and he did some study on that, and there's a book called The Smoky God. A very interesting book. The Smoky God is the only book that I've ever read. At the end of it, explains how a UFO can turn like at a 90-degree angle at, you know, 100,000 miles an hour and not smush everybody into the wall on the inside. Kind of interesting how he explained that. When he explained it, I said, oh, that makes perfect sense. So that was kind of at the end of the book called The Smoky God. I read the book, very interesting book. If you like science fiction, it's pretty good, but it's also interesting because there is something in the heart of the earth. Now, exactly what he saw and what came out of that heart of the earth are two different things. So it's just for The Smoky God, and the other one was, do you remember Jules Verne, Journey to the Heart of the Center of the Earth? I remember as a kid seeing a movie, I think, that scared me to death. I read the book when I was an adult, and I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. But there is something that obviously is in the heart of the earth. Yeah, sir?
Well, you know, you heard Russia way back when they were drilling.
Yes.
Supposedly heard.
Put a microphone. Right.
But for some reason, fuel worked up something, heat flew over. And when he did, instrumentation went nuts.
Right.
But he saw a hole.
Yeah.
Big enough for that plane to fly
Yeah, you have, and some of those are very interesting things. And if you've ever noticed, they say, well, those are all, we prove those are done. We have satellite pictures, and I've never seen a satellite picture that there wasn't clouds over the North Pole. Look, when you see one sometimes, see if you see them. And they could be. But I'm just saying, that's another subject. We know, according to this, that Jonah was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So we know that the Lord, when he died, went down into what the Bible calls hell. You say, why? Because that's where he went. So we'll get to that too in a little bit. All right, fiery part, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now that fire there is not what the charismatics say, I'll baptize with the Holy Ghost in fire. You don't want that fire baptism. Yeah, yeah. That's a judgment baptism of fire. So that Holy Spirit is connected with the fire, our God being a consuming fire, and would relate to the three chambers in the heart of the earth, to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's probably why there are three chambers, maybe not four. There might be four parts, one that holds those three chambers. I'm not exactly sure. All right. Now we're going to go back and we're going to look at each one of these parts here. Ezekiel 31, we're going to go there first. Ezekiel 31. I was thinking a little Ezekiel. Ezekiel David. I remember he's told me his middle name. Daniel. That's right. Right, Daniel. Ezekiel Danny. He's a fireball. Yeah. Ezekiel 31. The three are from the same family as Sarah, Timothy, and Mary. Okay. Same mom. Yep, that's what I thought. And they you can say their personalities are a lot alike. They're a little quieter, a little. And Sarah, she was all fixed up real pretty, had hair all curled real pretty. Paradise, Ezekiel 31. Ezekiel 31, verse 16. Said, I made the nations to shake. Ezekiel 31, 16. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit and all the trees of Eden. You say, were they? They were down in the pit, down in the heart of the earth. The choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. So there's a place in the nether parts of the earth where there is some comfort, and the trees of Eden there, the Garden of Eden. So sometime after the fall, go back to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll just look at some verses on Eden here. Sometime after the fall, it looks like, from what I can tell, that God took the Garden of Eden and placed it into the heart of the earth, took Eden down into the heart of the earth, because that's where it's at, paradise. Took the Garden of Eden, paradise, down into the heart of the earth. If I were to guess that it took place during the flood. That's when the earth was all of the tribulation stuff. Somehow it got from the Garden of God into the heart of the earth. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23, we'll just look a couple of verses of that. Genesis 3, oops, and verse 23. It says this, wrong page. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Keep the way of the tree of life. That tree of life shows up again. It's in the Garden of Eden, paradise here on earth. It shows up again, millennial reign, at the end of the millennial reign, with the tree of life will be there up in the third heaven. So it gets from here, it gets into the heart of the earth, and it gets up to the third heaven. All right? In Genesis chapter 2, back up just a verse here, you see the mention of it again. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. It says in verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, and there's the tree of life. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. All right, so these trees went down into the, God moved them down into the heart of the earth, mentioned there when, into the pit, and they were comforted in the heart of the earth, in the nether parts of the earth. So it looks like that, we'll go up to the book of Luke, the first mention here of paradise in the New Testament, Luke 23, Luke 23. You with me so far? You think I'm whacked out totally? We'll put it together here. Luke 23, Luke 23, Luke 23. It says in verse 43, Luke 23 and verse 43, let's back up verse 39, Luke 23, verse 39, and it says, one of the malefactors that was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, there's the key. He recognized him as Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the first mention that you find. Jesus was going to paradise that day when he died. He was headed down to paradise because paradise was in the heart of the earth. It did not say he was going to Abraham's bosom because he was not going to Abraham's bosom, because when he died on the cross, the New Testament started. The Testament starts, according to Hebrews, with the death of the testator. So the New Testament started when Jesus Christ died. So when he died, it ended the period of the law, started the age of grace, and now that when someone dies, I'll run ahead of myself. Anyway, when Christ died, he was going down there. The thief did not go to Abraham's bosom when he died. Anybody know why he wouldn't go to Abraham's bosom?
He died after
Christ died, that's right. And the dispensation of the law had ended with the death of Christ, and the New Testament started with the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. So he died after that, so he goes to Abraham. He goes to the paradise. He does not go to Abraham's bosom. That's correct. All right, back up to Acts chapter 2. So, all right, you guys are with me so far. But you're all looking at me funny, so I'm not sure you're... Yes. You could call it heaven, yes. It's not one of the three heavens, no. But if you want to call it heaven, when they died, they didn't per se go to heaven as we know it. They died and they went into the heart of the earth in the compartment that was before the law. They went to paradise. After the law, they went to Abraham's bosom. And in a short period of time, Christ leaves. He takes captive paradise and takes paradise up to the third heaven. So when we die, the Bible says, absence from the body, present the Lord. So if we die today, this side of the cross, dispensation of grace, if we die, we go to heaven, which is the third heaven up where the Lord is at. So paradise is now up there in the third heaven, but wasn't before Christ died. So to them, I guess that would be considered going to heaven. They didn't, I guess they would, of course they knew about Abraham's bosom. So I don't know if they'd say that they went to heaven or what they would say. We would term that. I guess that's, so in our understanding, we would say that was their heaven, yeah.
Other than your dispensational difference, what would you call the difference between Abraham's bosom and paradise?
What would I call it?
Yeah, what I'm looking at, you're saying the physical paradise.
Right.
But then you're talking about a spiritual joining, if you will, as far as Abraham, where did he go? He went down
to Abraham's bosom. No, they didn't. They're separate, and they're still separate, and right. He only took paradise.
Okay, so what happened to Abraham's bosom?
Still there, and they're still there,
right.
And David's still there, and they're not coming up yet. They'll come up with the second advent of Christ, because they're coming up out of the graves, Ezekiel. Stick with me here. I'll run some verses on it. I know it looks like they're the same, but they're not. I'll give you one here. Acts chapter 2. We'll just give you one to wet your whistle here. Acts chapter 2. Verse 32. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Acts 2 and verse 32, it says this. It says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, all right? Death, burial, resurrection of Christ taking place. We're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. See, if he took captivity captive and it was Abraham's bosom, then David would have went up in heaven, but he hasn't ascended. He's still in Abraham's bosom. But he saith unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. You say, when does it take place? Well, if you we'll get to it too, but I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. There are a day system. On the third day, you see the Lord coming back, and he's going to, at that point, he's going to resurrect Israel from Abraham's bosom. Let me think of the verse. Isaiah 26. Try that. I think it's around verse 19, maybe. 25, 26. Yeah, that's it. It's a reference here. If you put them all together, you can see it start to come out here. It says, the dead men shall live together with my dead body. With my dead body shall they arise. They haven't arisen yet. And awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dust of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Future second advent reference. Hasn't happened yet. It's not the rapture. So it's a second advent reference where Isaiah is coming up with them. So he's still in the heart of the earth as well too. He's with David and he's with the rest of them. All right, we'll get to that. We're jumping ahead here on some of them, but we'll get to that too. All right, so the Lord was going to be in paradise the day he died. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and we'll jump back here. And we'll run some more verses here to maybe some of this will start to make sense to you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, almost do verse 25. It says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see judgment. So God, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he descended down into hell. Here's what I believe he did. I believe he literally descended into hell. I don't think he stayed there. I think he went into paradise and preached to those that were in paradise. I got some verses to show you that. But the reason he descended into hell was to take your sin and my sin and drop it off into hell. He bore the sin of the entire world. I think he died, went to hell, and took our sin to hell. That's what I think. Went then to the paradise side of hell and preached to the captives. Those that were in Abraham's bosom were captive as well, too. And it talks about them being there with bars and gates. And it's interesting to kind of give you a preview. You say, I think the location of that is over at Mount Sinai. I think when the Lord comes back, well, long story, but we'll get to that. But if you're looking for a location for the entrance, it would probably be Mount Sinai. And we'll look some verses up of that when we get to it. So I think he died. I think he was crucified. He died. I think he went to hell, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He did not. I think he died, took our souls to our sin to hell, and went to paradise, where the thief, when he died, met the Lord down there. A thief died before the Lord died. No. Christ died first, went to paradise. Thief died later and went down to paradise with the Lord. All right? I think that's how the time frame works out. All right, he died on the cross before the thief did. And dispensational law was finished with the new dispensation began, died in the New Testament dispensation of grace, the thief did, and could not go to Abraham's bosom. That's a place for those who died that were under the law. Couldn't go to the third heaven because the third heaven, Christ had not yet ascended up to the third heaven. So he was still in the heart of the earth, so he had to go down to paradise and hadn't yet ascended. So he couldn't join the body of Christ in heaven because Christ had not yet completed the atonement and sat down at the right hand of the Father, becoming our high priest. So not yet ascended. Go to John, you can see that. When he came back to the earth, John chapter 20 and verse 17. By the way, in type, if you're looking for a type, and we'll get to that, and I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, Lazarus in the grave was a type of a Old Testament saint under the law and going into the heart of the earth that will be resurrected when Christ comes back again. So he's a type of someone that is Abraham's bosom that is resurrected at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the second advent. All right, John chapter 20, and what am I looking for here? I wrote a verse down. I can't even remember where I put it. 17, yep, there you go. Thank you very much. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, verse 16, Jesus saith unto Mary, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So he came up out of the grave, but he had yet not ascended up into heaven. He did ascend up into heaven, completed the atonement, sat down the right hand of the Father. And at that point then, from anyone that died that had trusted Christ, their personal Savior, the atonement had been complete, and they go up to the third heaven to be with the Lord. So the thief went to paradise where Adam and Eve were, and were still there until Christ led them up. And that's where they were before the word of God was written to them, saved entirely by the grace of God. But it was a temporary place where they went. Their sin was covered, but it wasn't totally taken away. It was covered but not cleared. And the reason it was not cleared, because Christ had not died and there was not yet a blood atonement. The lamb sacrifice that they had was a type of Christ, but it didn't take away the sin because the eternal shed blood of Christ was not yet done. That's why they were in paradise. That's why they're not in heaven. That's why they're in Abraham's bosom. They're not in heaven. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sin. So none of the paradise or Abraham's bosom could not go to heaven until Jesus Christ died and shed his blood on the cross. At that point then they could have access because of the shed blood that took away the sins that were covered under the blood of the animal sacrifice, and then they could go to the third heaven after the atonement had taken place. All right, you with me so far? Mrs. Fox, you're looking at me like, Victor.
If everyone else, when Abraham died, went up into his bosom and they were captives, what happened to Enoch and Elijah?
They were still there. You mean when Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him? That's a good question. And what about Elijah? That's a good question. Some of that was Enoch was a type in typology. He would have been a type of the church. So Enoch walked with God, did not see death. It was like a Christian being raptured out to go with the Lord to be in heaven. So Enoch would have been a type of the church that goes out, that does not see death, and immediately goes to heaven. So he would be, let's say he would be an exception. And the exception was so that he would be a type of a New Testament church, so we would see where we go out without passing through death. So, good question. Did he go to heaven? I would guess probably as an exception. And Elijah went up in a chariot of fire, probably the same type of thing, same type of an exception. So that's good. That's a very intelligent question. Very good question. I'll write those down too. Enoch. I have a question too that I had the answer to. I taught this a number of years ago, and I had a question. I won't tell you what the question is because you're going to ask me what the answer is. And I found what the answer was after reading my Bible for a couple years, and I wrote it down someplace where I would never forget it. It's still in that place where I wrote it, and I don't know what the I just tell you this: it had to do with the tribulation. And someone asked me a question about there's gets complicated. Where do they go when they die in the tribulation period? What's in the heart of the earth? Paradise is still a cavern. Well, they probably went, and this is a good question. I would guess they went to Abraham's bosom. That would be my guess, because it would have been similar, because we're going back in a sense dealing with the nation of Israel with the law. So I'm going to guess it's a possibility that they went to Abraham's bosom when they died. So that's my guess. Because Abraham's bosom is still there till the second advent of Christ, until he comes back. And the judgment, see, everybody thinks they get judgment at the rapture, but what about the saints that died during the tribulation period? Well, that judgment takes place at the white throne. Everybody says the white throne judgment is a judgment just for sin only. That's not true at all.
Death and hell.
And there are rewards that are given out at the white throne judgment in the book of Revelation explains that. So people that die during the tribulation period, our judgment is the rapture. Where's their judgment takes place? Has to take place. So their judgment is a great white throne judgment. It's just not the judgment of the dead. They say judgment of the living and judgment of the dead. That sounds good preaching, but it's not true. Because they have to have a judgment, and they will be judged, and they will be given rewards based upon what they did during that tribulation period. And most of it's faith and works during that time. So anyway, you get me jumping way ahead of some things here too, and then it goes on into a lot of other things as well too. All right. Let's look at a couple of verses on this just to clarify. Psalm 32. We're still in paradise. We've got two more to go yet here. I got Abraham's bosom, and we'll explain all that when we get to Abraham's bosom. And hell, that's a simple one. Look at Psalm 32. And get to Psalm 32 and Romans 4. This is something I just mentioned. I just want to give you some verses on it, so you've got some. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. And Psalm 32. Don't throw this all out and say, this is just a bunch of crazy stuff. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Study a little bit and see if... See what you think. Psalm 32, and look at verse 1. Psalm 32 and verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Old Testament situation, sin covered, but it was not cleared, not taken away. If you go up to Romans chapter 4, and one of the things I teach here in Romans chapter 4, that babies, if babies die, where do babies go? They go to purgatory. Anybody knows that? Yeah, they go to heaven, yeah. Limbo. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I love this verse when you got somebody you're bumping heads with, and they're telling how good you are. I asked him, I said, I like to ask people if they're ungodly. And people, oh, no, I'm not ungodly. And I say, well, Christ didn't die for you then. There's no way you can get to heaven. He says, he died for the ungodly. He justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. A little baby has no knowledge of the law. Where there's no knowledge of the law, there's no knowledge of good and evil. Sin is not imputed. Does a baby sin? Yeah, a baby sins. This little baby right over here, this baby's a sinner. It goes straight from its mother womb speaking lies. It'll lie when it'll cry and you think it's hurt, and it's not hurt. Cry and think it's hungry. It's not hungry. It's just self-centered and wants attention. That's all it is. You say, what's it doing? It's lying. So you say, it's a liar. Shouldn't it go to hell? No, because sin is not imputed to its account. There is no knowledge of law. If I went over and I said, Emma, thou shalt not kill. She go, had no idea what I'm even talking about. There's no knowledge. And so there's sin is not imputed to her account. Say, when is sin imputed to her account? That's a good question. I don't think it's possible till they're about 4 years of age. That's just a guess, and I've got some verses of scripture to say that. I've had people tell me that they got saved when they were 4 years of age, and they remember exactly what took place when they got saved at 4 years of age. I don't deny it, but I don't think they can get saved until they're four. I don't think they need to get saved until at least 4 years of age, because they have no knowledge. They have no understanding. Even if you get a three-year-old to memorize the Ten Commandments, he really doesn't have an understanding of the implication of breaking what the commandments really mean. So sin is not imputed. So whose sin is covered? So sin is covered in the Old Testament, but it was they had redemption, but they did not have eternal redemption and could not have eternal redemption until Christ died on the cross. All right. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. That's while I'm thinking about that. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, the thing that most people hesitate at, and I've taught this before, is the difference between paradise and Abraham's bosom. And there is, because they're taught that they're the same, and they're not the same. The more you study it, the more you'll see that they're not the same. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, we'll start there. It says, but Christ, being come in a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the eternal place, having attained eternal redemption for us. The difference between the eternal redemption and redemption in the Old Testament under the law, in verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In an Old Testament situation, their conscience was not purged. Each year, the priest had to offer a sacrifice not only for himself, but for the sins of the whole people. When Christ died on the cross and receive him, we receive eternal redemption, and that eternal redemption purges our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. So we have been totally set free because the devil comes along, shakes your cage, says, hey, man, I've got a redemption. And God not only cleans you up, but he purges your conscience and your mind so that your conscience knows that your sin has been covered by the blood and you've been set free. So eternal redemption. Now, when Christ died, he went down and preached the gospel of deliverance. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You say, why? Because in a sense, they were captive. They couldn't go to the third heaven until after he had died. It says in verse 16, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was called to preach the captives. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Did quite a bit of preaching while I was down there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited for the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." And if you'll jump over, you'll see something else here in verse 6 of chapter 4. It says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." So he went down and preached to the captives. He preached to the spirits that were there, those that were cast into hell, the fallen angels, and preached to them the gospel. There's no one ever that will ever stand before God and tell God they did not know. Because he's going to make sure that every single soul heard the message. Now, they've sealed their fate because of their actions, because they failed to follow the light that God had given them. But they're going to know that they had an opportunity, had they followed the light that God had given them, that they would have led them to an atonement in Jesus Christ under the Old Testament law, which was a clearing of their sin covered by an Old Testament blood that kept them in paradise or Abraham's bosom until the eternal atonement on the cross of Christ at Calvary. And then he took captivity, the paradise at that time, up to heaven with him. All right, you with me so far? Let's see. I don't want to skip. I'll skip that too. Second mention of paradise, New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's mentioned three times in New Testament, paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm running out of time, so I'm not even going to get to Abraham's. I've got a lot of stuff on Abraham's bosom I'd really like to give you tonight so that you can see the difference between the two. There's some typology between Hagar, the handmaid, and she was given to Abraham's bosom. And she's a type. Well, we'll get to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, second mention of paradise in verse 2. It says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." That doesn't look what I'm looking for. What I've got here, 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians. No, it didn't look right. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. All right. I'm in chapter 2 in 2 Corinthians. I'll get there eventually. There it is. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1. Let's start verse 1. It says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up to the third heaven." I think Paul's talking about himself there, and he was caught up to the third heaven. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Second time it's mentioned. Now it is up into paradise in the third heaven. So paradise that was on the earth, Garden of Eden, ended up down in the heart of the earth, and then is now up in the third heaven, caught up into paradise. And Paul was up in the third heaven. I think it was Paul. He knew a man. I think he's talking about himself. But even if it wasn't, it was a man that was caught up into paradise, now up in the third heaven. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to look in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll do verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. For he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. That captivity there, I believe, and if you stick with me, you'll see that that's paradise, not Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is still in the heart of the earth. David is still there, and the rest of them are still there. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So you got the heart of the earth, the lower part of the earth, the nether part of the earth. You say, where's that? Bottoms of the mountains. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here's the gift, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, some teachers. So I'm your gift, whether you like it or not. Don't come with a bow on my head. All right, one more verse, all right, because I'm running out of time, and I haven't even finished up with the paradise here yet, because there's a third mention of paradise, and then we'll go to Abraham's bosom. Probably it won't be for 2 weeks. All right, go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'll give you the verses on Abraham's bosom. I'll give you some types as we look at it. I think you'll be able to see the differences between them. In Matthew chapter 27, and I'll grab my other Bible here. I got more notes in this one. Verse 51, Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many, not all, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I believe that those are the saints that were in paradise that came out, not Abraham's bosom, but paradise, because they didn't all come up. So there's some that are still there. David is still down there for a fact, Acts chapter 2. It looks like Isaiah is too, that we know for sure. It says, and appeared unto many. Now, there's a teaching that everybody, when they die and resurrected, they're going to be a 33-and-a-half-year-old male. I don't believe that. But if they were all 33-and-a-half-year-old males and went in the city, I think that would be interesting. I have some reasons why they went in and some other things too. But I believe that those that came up out of the grave were the ones that the Lord resurrected when he took them up with him, when they led captivity captive into heaven. And Job is there's so many types we could get into. All right. I hate to quit in the middle of all of that because I'm not finished with the third reference to paradise yet. Yes. But I'll take some questions, so. Yes, I believe that.
And it said many. So is there still some in paradise?
No.
Okay.
No, I think everybody that's in paradise came up.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody that was in paradise came up. I think Abraham's bosom is still there.
Right.
And we'll look at Ezekiel, and you'll see in Ezekiel whether they come up in Ezekiel. It doesn't say paradise. I just believe that it's paradise with everything else I've read. See, in Matthew 27 there it says, the graves were opened, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Yeah, and so there, this death is likened unto a sleep. And many that were asleep arose. Not all of them. I think the ones that arose were the ones that were in captive in paradise, that went up to the third heaven with Christ when he went up. And I think Abraham's bosom is still in the heart of the earth at this point. And I'll show you some verses when we get to Abraham's bosom. I'll show you some types. I'll show you some verses. And I'll show you a day system that shows that when the Lord comes back, he comes back. He goes to Mount Sinai, but there's also a resurrection that looks like takes place at that time. And the resurrection takes place of a place that has bars and gates. And that's where I believe that Abraham's bosom is. And they're also considered to be captive too. As well, too. All right. I know there's a whole lot more, but I think the basics of it, I think you got. All right. Got any? You're looking at me like you're confused. All right. Question? You guys are going to be gone. I wish you were here for that too, because I got a lot of verses that I've dug out for years over that. I could do that. I could scan them. I could do that. I was going to write a little booklet about it. I keep thinking about it. And my wife actually started transcribing my notes at one time. I preached this many years ago. You know what? We have a CD that I did this. I think it was maybe 2007 or something. So about 7 years ago, I think. Yes. Right.
And it's in there. And I went through all my notes.
You wouldn't have been there when I taught the whole thing.
No, you're right.
I might have said some things about it.
Right.
But
well, Where the Dead Go, you preached on before, since I've been here.
I wouldn't have taught. I might have said some things about Where the Dead Go, but I wouldn't have taught.
All right.
Not that I. It's been at least 7 years.
I can see when it was.
Yeah, I think it was like 7 years. Let me take a look here. I have a note here maybe when. May 2007. I probably did. I teach some things on it, but I wanted to go into depth on it to. I probably said, you know, this is this, there's the divisions and this and that, but didn't give all the verses and stuff on it. Really? Wow, that's scary. God is good.
I read all my notes. It took me like hours to get through my notebook, but it was so interesting. Wow.
Yeah, God is good. There's some things that and Victor had an absolute excellent question, and that was very, very beyond your age type of question, and I've heard that before too. So I think the exceptions probably there to the rule is types. So. Pretty good, Victor. You had what?
In my Bible page.
Yeah.